And this morning, as we look to the Lord for our message, there's two portions of Scripture I want to share with you all. First is Ephesians, and that's 6, 1 through 3. And then Colossians 3, 18 through 20. First, Ephesians. Children, do what your parents tell you. This is only right. Honor your father and mother is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it. Namely, so you will live well and have a long life. And then Colossians 3. Colossians 3, 18 through 20 says, wives, understand and support your husbands by submitting to them in ways that honor the master. Husbands, go all out in love for your wives. Don't take advantage of them. Children, do what your parents tell you. This delights the master. No end. All right. Well, there's several things in this message that the Lord wants to tell us all. The first thing is that these children that he's talking to are God's children, and when they're present in the assembly of the church, we need to realize that everything we do impacts them because they're looking, they're watching, they want to be like the grown-ups. They want to grow up quicker than God has made it possible to. And as they do that, they start to admire, they start to reflect individuals. Normally it's parents that they start to reflect their attitudes, their likes, their dislikes. Sometimes it's grandparents, sometimes it's a figure that's in popular culture. Now, as Paul was bringing these letters to the Colossians and the Ephesians, he wanted everybody to know one thing, that there's a established way a family should sit in God's eyes. Fathers, husbands, love your wives. But first he put, women, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. It doesn't mean that you got to cater to their every desire, want and desire, or anything. That's a misinterpretation of this scripture. And a lot of churches even use this to that end. But what God was really saying is, wives, look to your husband for counsel, for guidance, for direction. Because as the husband, as the father, he should be emulating the leadership such as Christ emulates leadership over the church. And he will never do anything if he has that mindset that will harm you, your children, or anyone. But instead, make your lives that much better. And then wives, after that, remember that your husband should be loving you. Husbands, remember this, that your wives should be loved as much as Christ loved the church, with that self-sacrificing, no strings attached love. A love that flows out of Jesus himself to your wife, to the soulmate that God gave you. And then children, remember, you have been placed into this family for a reason. Yes, you may have some impact because of your insights, but remember, your parents are older. Your parents should be wiser. They should have the wisdom that God has given them to instill within you. And as you honor that, as you honor them, then you will be blessed. It's not only because it's right. It's not only because God commands it. It's because it's what's best for you. Parents, for the most part, have the best interests of their children in mind when they do anything. If they're not, then they're neglecting their kids or they're abusing their kids. And just like you've heard me share before, God is not a neglectful or an abusive parent, neither should we. So, as we look to this scripture, we need to remember three things. That obedience is right, obedience is commanded, and obedience brings blessing. It's right. What does that mean? That children should are to obey their parents for several reasons. And this goes to us as God's children. We're to obey our Heavenly Father for these very same reasons that Paul lines out here. This is the way that the family of the Trinity is ordered. This is best for it. If it's best for the Trinity's family structure, then it should be best for you too. And I share that with you now because a lot of people don't realize that this reflection of the family is a reflection of the Trinity. Now, God the Father is the one above all. The Son is below the Father. The Holy Spirit is below the Father also. Not necessarily equal to the Son, but different. And that's reflected in a family structure too, as the Father should be the head of the household spiritually. Not the one barking out orders just because he feels like flexing his muscles, but because he has the best interest of his kids and his wife in mind. He should be leading that way. The Holy Spirit has been associated with female gender terms in the Greek and in the Hebrew. But more or less, it's a gender-neutral term, so it does reflect a little bit on the mother's aspect. That the mother is also a guide, a leader, but should always look to the Father before acting out. They should be together on this. Should all coincide in their agreement of this. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit's a female. Don't get me wrong. I want just to point that out, that this is a relative structure that God has established from the beginning of time, as we know it, and beyond. Before time was, God was, Jesus was, the Holy Spirit was. And then the Son should be looking to the Father for guidance and gaining power and authority through the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did a lot of what he did on earth empowered by the Holy Spirit, not on his own. Because his humanness interfered with him being fully God at all times sometimes, and he needed to act out in that extra power that the Holy Spirit gave him of encouragement. Because his humanness would say, no, I don't think I can do it. He'd go to the garden and pray. And then finally he'd get that inspiration from the Holy Spirit and say, nevertheless, your will be done, Father. Realizing that as the three coincide, as the three work together and bless one another, that their structure is strong and will not crumble under anything. Not saying Jesus wasn't 100% God. He was. But he had his humanness working in there also. And we can't forget that. That he has been tried. He has been tested in every way that we will be also. He is a God. Jesus is the God that we can emulate or be encouraged by, because he's gone through everything that we should ever have to go through. The Bible tells us he was tested in every way. He was tried in every way. But he did not sin. And that's something that extra power of being who he was and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit told him, you can do this. Even though your humanness may be frail and your humanness may be weak, you're still strong. You can do this. And that's the same encouragement we get from the Holy Spirit. So, it's right. Why is it right? Well, because it's the natural order of things, the way God has ordained it to be. Well, then, do we have to listen to this? Yes, it is commanded. But never should the command supersede the rightness of it. God never intended the commandments that he gave to us to supersede the fact that these are right things to do. It just makes sense. It makes logical sense to do the things that he has prescribed for us in life and not do the things that he has said we should not do. It makes sense. Yes, it's commanded, but God doesn't want you to see him in the light of an authoritarian ruler that just wants to bark out orders over his followers or his children. He wants you to see that first, it is right what I'm telling you to do. Secondly, remember that I have the authority over you. And if I command you to do something, if you can't see that it's right, do it because you are commanded to. And then, hopefully, sooner than later, the fact that it's right will come through to you and you will be doing it, not begrudgingly, but lovingly. And then, the last is, it brings blessings. A family that is ordered by God won't necessarily be without problems, but they will have a greater insight of how to deal with those problems than one that is not. I've always said that a husband and a wife are equal in many ways. And they get married and they become two in the one. But there has to be that agreement between the husband and the wife before anything's done that affects the children. And that means everything you should be considering in this light. And then, you know, it says this in the Bible, and I'm going to stand by it, that if there isn't a clear direction to go, as long as the father is truly the spiritual leader that he should be, then go the direction he's pointed. If the wife cannot concur, doesn't feel like it's the way to go, can't really discern, then lean on the husband's judgment. It may be right, it may be wrong. But if it's directed by God, it would and should be right. And as a husband is to be the spiritual leader of the house, then that leaves the concept of, well, what happens when there's not a father in the house? Well, then the wife needs to assume that spiritual role. The mother needs to assume that spiritual role of leader. But looking to the father she has in heaven as that confidence to know that what she's doing is right. But it, also, if there's not a father that's fulfilling his prescribed by God duties, then the wife needs to step up also if she is strong in the Lord. And not do it to squelch the husband or the father in their being a dad or being a husband, but to know that the things that are guided and directed by the Holy Spirit through her should be the way things should go, as long as it doesn't create chaos within the family, because God would never desire that. Does that make sense? And kids. Kids need to look up to you and see you, fathers, mothers, as that spiritual guide, that spiritual mentor that they need. As we stand up here and we have baby dedications, it's no means of grace for the baby to enter heaven because they're already under God's grace. Because they can't decide for themselves what's right and what's wrong. They haven't reached that age of accountability. What it is for us is a way to say, as parents, as a family, as a church, that we are going to do our best to raise those kids up so that they will be able to make that decision when they get old enough. They will have enough in their mind and in their heart to know that the right way to go is with Jesus. No matter what others may be doing, friends may be doing or anything, I know that it, in my heart, it is right to follow Jesus. Yes, it is also commanded that we should follow Jesus in his direction, but never should that supersede the rightness. Because the blessings will only come when these two things happen. When you know that it's right, you know that it's commanded, and you do it. You do it because you love to do it. You feel obligated to do it. But even if you don't feel like you can love doing it, know that you need to do it because it's commanded. And as that works in your heart and in your mind, sooner or later you realize how right it was. And only as those two things are fulfilled will the blessings flow. And then God will do wonderful things to help your family enjoy the life that he's given them. Well, with this week being the week before Mother's Day, there are a lot of people that we can look at and say, well, there's my spiritual mother. There's my spiritual mentor. Sometimes it's your own mother. Sometimes it's somebody else's mom or somebody who never had children of their own. But you can look to them and say, I know that this woman loved me so much that she was willing to do everything in her power to lead me to Christ. And I pray that that's the way that you see yourself as a mother, as a father, as a spiritual guide and mentor for any kids. As your leader. Because if you are an elder in this church, we're all supposed to be leaders for the children. And not just see, well, that's the parents' job. Well, never supersede or step over the parents' authority, but do your best to lead and guide them as you would your own children. And just, there's a warning that this disobedience to parents is rebellion against God. But remember that there are some situations that God realizes that these parents aren't the best for these kids. They're either abusive, neglectful, or whatever. And disobeying because they know it's right in the Lord, disobeying their parents because they know it's right in the Lord, is not necessarily wrong, because it's in their best interest. God has it in their best interest not necessarily to be in the situation they're in. And that's when they look further for that leadership and their guidance. Not necessarily because the parents were neglectful or anything, but they just didn't see something in them that they thought they should see. But a lot of times it's because of the abuse and because of the neglect that parents will bring. They look outside of the family for that leadership. And that's when kids get into problems with alcohol, drugs, promiscuity. Because they're looking for that love that they should have in the family structure that's not there. And then even as they look outside for that love and direction that the family structure doesn't bring them, they fall into traps and pitfalls because these people don't necessarily have the best interest in mind for them either. But as long as they're feeling like they're being loved, they'll usually cling to that. Or if they feel that they're a part of something, when they have nothing to feel like they're a part of, they'll cling to that. And hopefully it's in the mindset that the church is somewhere they look to and then they realize, well, I need to pray for my parents, so that they will be the spiritual guide and mentors that they should be. So they will be ones that I can look up to and honor as God wants me to, instead of just saying, I write them off. Don't want anything more to do with them. It may come to that point in life, but that's neither here nor there, and that's not something that we need to be concerned about until it happens. But most of you sitting here have had parents that you can look up to and say, they have my best interest at heart. Some of you may not. And I pray that you don't see reflected in your Heavenly Father the misgivings of your earthly parents, because that becomes a warped sense of who God truly is. We need to see God as the perfect example, which He is, and our parents as less than perfect, who will make mistakes, who will stumble, who will fall. But hopefully, it's in the attempt to do what's best for you. I know if I asked each and every one here, I'd probably come back with all kinds of different answers about how their parents were, what they looked up to them for, and whether or not they were truly spiritual leaders that they saw. It doesn't matter right now. What matters right now is you know where you're at. You know who you serve. And you know that you always have a Heavenly Father to look to, and hopefully that can reflect back on the good situation you had in life as you grew up. Moms never stop being moms. Dads never stop being dads because you reach a certain age. Sure, you may think that you know it all when you're younger, but then when you get old enough, you realize that I didn't know as much as I thought I did. Or you realize that, hey, you know what, dad or mom were smarter than I gave them credit for. Because you live out in life the situations that they were going through. And that helps to add perspective to where you came from, where you're going, and who you serve. So I want to encourage you to honor your parents. This week especially, honor your mothers. Those of you who have mothers that have gone ahead of you, remember them for who they were. Remember them for what they did for you to lead you and guide you in the direction of God. And honor their memory in your right living. Because no matter how old you get, you're still a reflection of the parent. People see you, and they see you acting a certain way. They say, well, you know what? Makes sense. Look who he came from. Or they say, wow, I didn't realize that's the kind of family life he had or she had. People are very judgmental, not that they should be. But especially outside of the church, they want to see something reflected in us that is a different thing than what they see outside of the church. And that needs to be Jesus. And hopefully it is something that was emulated by your parents. So, honor your fathers and mothers, because this is the first commandment, with a blessing attached, so that you would live long lives and happy lives. Not because you think you have to, but because you want to. And that goes for now as you're a kid under your parents' guardianship, or as you're now outside of their house and living your life, or if they've gone on, honor them and honor their memory. Because I would hate for anybody to say anything wrong about my parents that wasn't justly derived from truth. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the leadership that you give us, for the direction you give us, for the example you've set before us of what a loving family and an encouraging family should be. We thank you for our parents, for the examples they were to us, sometimes not so good. But we thank you that we can look to you as that perfect example of what a parent, what a father should be. And as we go throughout this week and get ready for the celebration of Mother's Day, help us to recall all the things about our mother that make us who we are and led us to you. And help us to honor them in that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.